No other author would have made the traitors consider the betrayal both necessary and altruistic. This was clearly moved by no bribe, nor threat, nor small-scale gain for Bosch or person. Those who acted believed it was to benefit great bodies, cities, peoples, nations, thus yourselves, or one of you. All eyes searched their fellows. Ando scratched his silvered temple. And you are sure Occam Sunir thinks this too? Yes, Chichiwe. The Japanese form of father, which Taikun uses to address Ando, is peculiarly formal and old-fashioned. Occam Sunir must have thought all this already. They have anti-proofs. Old Huang En Lai smiled at the 10th director. What anti-proofs? Anti-proof the first. You know that Sunir will suspect you, and Sunir knows you realize this. If you had proof of your innocence or of another's guilt, you would have offered it to them. You have not. Anti-proof the second. Captain Zhu Wei Chun will not lie to Occam Sunir again. When asked who sent them, they may answer nothing. But they will not state explicitly, it was not you. Thus Sunir will know it was. I did not catch which director muttered the first few frustrated Chinese syllables, musical like Greek, but as soon as someone broke the hold of English, more Chinese flooded in from all five of them. I could not follow the words, but their body language was transparent enough. Beijing's Wang Laojing was sparring with the Shanghai directors Liu Yong and Wang Baobao, though which side was accuser and which defender I could not say. Old Huang En Lei, interjecting often, was the net to their verbal tennis match, while Wenzhou's Chen Zhongren added occasional notes of guarded brevity. There is something pure to politics without words, raw human side-taking stripped of its veneer of topics and justifications. I saw sighs of recognition pass among the non-Chinese speakers in the room, too. Shanghai and Beijing had done this. We could all see it. One of their vast voting blocs had taken this gamble, scrambling to get the better of the other, money-fatted Shanghai against the proud and stubborn former capital. I know it is as egregious as conflating Paris and London, but to we linguistic exiles in the room, it hardly mattered which of the two was the culprit. When siblings spar, the true cause is proximity. Enough, Ando broke in. This action endangers the alliance. His angry spoken English contained an ambiguity I cannot preserve in text. Did he mean the unofficial alliance between the Mitsubishi and the humanists, or Romanova's universal free alliance, which, like a watchman at some ancient port, tries with its tiny voice to give some aid and order to the man-made leviathans which crowd and jostle in the bay? At times like this, I am reminded just how small a bay Earth is, and how vast these leviathans. I care less who is at fault than how the 10 of us will fix this. I'm prepared to be direct if no one else is. At this point, we all know vaguely what the so-called Kanner device is, that responsibility for its development can be linked to our hive. The newest director, Shanghai's young Wang Baobao, was aggressive enough to murmur, Japan. Ando's pause was brief. Yes, it can be linked to my strat specifically. And I think we all realize that makes it easy for someone who wanted to harm our hive to fire up the public about Mitsubishi culpability and everything the device has ever been associated with. I thanked Ando in my heart for avoiding my name, but still, it hung in the air, like a pregnant storm cloud. Mycroft Kanner. One of you arranged this drill today to try to seize the device. Perhaps you did it to protect the hive. Chichiwe. J.E.D.D. Mason broke in, his voice soft like drizzle if the other's words were rain. Do you genuinely read such kindness in this act? Ondo refreshed himself with a deep breath and a dark, judgmental glance at each of his fellows, who actually looked sincerely contrite. J.E.D.D. Mason is a hard being to disappoint. I would like to believe it was a kind act, Tycoon. The alternative is that someone wanted to use the device as leverage against me, since the Japanese strat would suffer most from public outcry. But it sickens me to think that factional self-interest could lead any of you to poison the entire hive in the eyes of the world. He waited to let that blow sink in, and to poison our relations with our most important ally. The humanists will get over it. Shanghai's confident Liu Yong stretched back in his seat with an expression something between smug and testy. We trust you to stay in the saddle where Ganymede is concerned, Ondo. I would rather hear more about the theft and about what you let happen at Black Sakura. I think Liu Yong is more blunt and rude in English than in his strat tongue. I think they all are. Ondo controlled his expression, but could not keep wrath's red from rising in his cheeks. I have with difficulty placated President Ganymede. He glared at Liu Yong as he stressed it. I have also ensured that the investigation of this double break-in is in hands we trust. That means the issue of the device is also in hands we trust, a fact which may be the only thing which keeps this from exploding in our faces. His eyes softened as he turned to the camera once again. Tycoon? Yes, Chichiwe. Do you believe anyone here is responsible for the device, for its creation, its use, or any part of it? A long pause while he thinks. I believe not. The chief director almost smiled. I believe that the world will suffer greatly and gain nothing by the exposure of the device's origins. Do you agree? Directors, he answered slowly. Does any of you genuinely know the details of the device's origin? Or is it lost in time? All nine directors aimed earnest faces at the unofficial tenth. From what I can tell, old Huang En Lai was the one brave enough to answer. The records were systematically destroyed. Again, the tenth director paused to think. I believe the threat to global tranquility is genuine, that your plan to shelter the world with silence is practical and well-considered, and that your desire to protect your people is as humane as selfish. The public fears much, and rightly, from this new use of the device. That truth must be exposed. But the question of origin is both separate and old. The public feels no active pain from that curiosity, and any answer you give would be painfully partial, aiding far less than it harms. I will facilitate your silence on that count. If my utopians catch the thief who targeted Black Sakura and attain the device, I will seek to destroy it. And I consider myself to have no obligation to reveal its origin. Many shoulders relaxed. To anyone? Wang Laojing tested. Would it be easier for you, reader, if I adopt the King of Spain's habit and differentiate these Chinese directors by the regions whose sub-nation strats they represent? Wang Laojing, then, is competent Beijing. I've been tasked with this by many authorities, J.E.D.D. Mason answered, But all task me to heal the peace, not harm it. And there is none among them who does not keep secrets in return. If I tell patrem meum that all threat is ended, and say the same to censor, chair, headmaster, their majesty, and their grace, then they and theirs will rest content. Ando smiled. We will do all in our power to help you ensure the device is found and destroyed. He paused to let the others nod assent. Whether that means giving you what few records we have of it, acting as you direct, or pledging not to act again, since today's action was so horribly disruptive. The billions whose happiness you guard would thank you if they knew, Chichiwe. J.E.D.D. Mason answered. However, I believe the Canner device is the prior, but not the larger threat.
The 710 list?
Yes.
It was none of us,
Beijing answered for all. J.E.D.D. Mason scanned their faces once again. That, I believe.
Beijing. Do we know the reason for the theft yet?
Shanghai.
Your Bash child was involved, Ando.
Japan.
Masami is another victim of this, yes? And knows nothing.
Korea. I understand Black Sakura is going to publish both lists now.
It's not clear to me who benefits.
Shanghai.
Sugiyama's list does hurt us, but it hurts others even more.
Shanghai the younger.
Ganymede especially.
Dongbei.
Yes, Ganymede and Casimir Perry both come out worse than us in Sugiyama's list.
All reviewed Sugiyama's list, which they had now in an advanced copy, distributed to the hive leaders as tomorrow's publication loomed.
Number 1, Masonic Emperor Cornell Mason. Number 2, The Anonymous. Number 3, Sniper. Number 4, Zeven Racer. Number 5, Cousin Chair Briar Kosala. Number 6, Brillist Headmaster Felix Faust. Number 7, Mitsubishi Director Hotaka Ando Mitsubishi. Number 8, François Quenet. Number 9, Giulia Doria Pamphili. Number 10, Lorelei Cookie Cook.
Korea. Spain could also be an intended target. Including Zeven Racer on the list is an insult to the king as much as to Perry.
Beijing.
Everyone knows Spain was not involved when Zeven Racer tried to fix the election for them. Bringing attention to Racer will only remind everyone how honorable Spain was withdrawing from the race after Racer's exposure. Casimir Perry's the one who looks bad for benefiting from Spain's misfortune.
Shanghai.
Sugiyama is far from the first to point out that Zeven Racer is the only reason Perry is prime minister, but no one's ever said before that Sniper was the only reason Ganymede is president, at least not so publicly. That's a far worse blow.
Japan.
What do you think, Tycoon?
Himself.
The worst blow is not to Europe, Chichiwe, but to Asia.
Beijing.
To Asia? Why do you phrase it like that?
Himself.
François Quenet.
Dongbei.
The eighth name on the list.
J.E.D.D. Mason fell silent here, breathing slowly, like one sick with fever, struggling to stay awake and speak with visitors.
What is the source?
He asked at last.
Beijing.
Of what?
Himself.
If you wrote a poem titled The Source, what would be its subject?
Of the directors, Ando is least afraid to answer his strange questions.
Nature, he ventured.
The interconnectedness of life, forests, the ocean, maybe rural life, a farm, a spring of water.
Such trust, reader. Voicing these personal, almost theological, opinions and trusting him to make the tangent pertinent.
Himself.
Do all agree?
Shanghai. Mine would be about spring. New growth. Beijing. Spring, yes. Dongbei. Land, perhaps. Land changing, the parting of the snow. The ocean, or a well, or maybe a mountain or a tree. This last came from Kimura Kunie, the second Japanese director, who had done well in the decades since he realized it was more prudent to be Ando's strong right arm than Ando's rival.
Then you are alone.
The dead softness of his voice felt cautious now, as when you comfort a wounded animal, and you know your syllables are meaningless, but seeing it in pain, you must do something. Faced with that question, a cousin might answer, the heart. A European, the past. A humanist, themself. A Brillist, the psyche. A utopian, imagination. All are pieces of the Masonic answer, humanity. Only the Mitsubishi placed the source outside humanity, in nature. Through the tracker, I could see fear spread from eye to eye among the nine directors. In this thought, you are the most alone. This is what Sugiyama thought, which Masami Mitsubishi would not have said, but all Earth will read now. Why do you see danger in that? At last, Greenpeace Mitsubishi director Jyoti Bandyopede broke her silence. Her vibrant suit was cut like a sherwani, patterned with the fierce flame-orange spring blossoms of a palash tree, with a leaf-green sash across her chest, representing the veto reserved in the terms of the Greenpeace Mitsubishi Hive merger 64 years before. Her expressions had been the most guarded throughout this, a sad spectator more than a confederate. And I gender her female for you, reader, as a reminder of how far apart she stands from Ando and his ilk. Everyone knows caring for the land is our great strength, greater now than ever. Are you expecting some new hue and cry about exorbitant rents?
That my servant may speak to.
After a moment's silence, I remembered Dominic was missing, so he must mean me. Yes, directors, I began, hearing my voice shake as I feared recognition. Speaking for the Tribune on behalf of Romanova, yes, we do predict a new hostility about rents and property. It is no breach of confidence that I share the censor's predictions here, reader. J.E.D.D. Mason is a hiveless tribune. The censor's data is at his service while he is at Romanova's. Beijing. We've capped rent increases, and we've been acquiring land less rapidly, just as the censor recommended. I. Yes, you have. You've made good efforts. The censor's data reflects that. But people are already so worried about it. And there are so many hostile counter-campaigns, so many people riled up, most people aren't aware you've slowed down. They just see Mitsubishi landlords on every street and feel like you're eating up more land, even if you aren't. Sugiyama's list will make it worse, much worse. Beijing. Why? Who is this François Quesnay? I. Was, not is, director. François Quesnay is a historical figure. Sugiyama was planning one of their clever presence-by-absence pieces. Those in the room seemed to lack enthusiasm for the journalistic art. François Quesnay was one of the leaders of the Physiocrats, a group of European economists influential in the 17th century at the very birth of modern economic theory. They believed that wealth and value came from land, shared your idea about the source, in a sense. I smiled, thinking how much more clumsily I would have phrased this without his frame to guide me. When Adam Smith came along, A big part of what they did was disagree with the physiocrats, saying the source of wealth was labor, not land. Everyone since has basically agreed with Smith, even Marx and Moret, though they refined it with ideas about capital and axons. But these days, everyone pretty much thinks in terms of human labor as the source, population, work hours, especially with the hive system. Hives competing for more members, seeming strong or weak based on how many they gain or lose. Everyone counts people, directors. Everyone except you. I don't disagree with Marx and Smith, Beijing boasted. We value our size, our people. J.E.D.D. Mason cut in softly. How many voting shares are presently pledged to you, director? 1.2 billion? Precisely. How many? 1,232,400,000 and some? How many people? How many members pledge their voting shares to you to make that block? About 150 million. Precisely how many? He frowned at his companions. Maybe slightly under 150? You know much more precisely how much of nature you represent than how many people. Again, I smiled, seeing how his meandering demonstration made the point more clearly than the straight-seeming path. Exactly, I confirmed. These days, not even Gordian still clings to the corporate model so closely as to distribute Brillist votes by share instead of by person. Sugiyama's editorial on François Quesnay would have been their manifesto that the Mitsubishi shareholder democracy has failed. Shareholder democracy makes us strong, Korea objected fastest. It's an incentive. Our members work harder to get property, own their homes, invest, knowing hard work will make their voices stronger, one share vote at a time. Young Shanghai nodded. We own more than half the property on Earth now. That proves our system works. There was pride in Korea's glance at Bandyopade here, or, I should say, at India. For back when the Mitsubishi Hive proposed its mighty marriage with Greenpeace, it had lusted after more than Greenpeace's 12 billion acres of nature reserve and 500 million nature-loving members. It lusted after India. The lion's share of the Indian nation strat was always with Greenpeace, and an entrenched cultural tic, something between tradition and self-defense, makes Indian landowners intractably unwilling to sell India's land to outsiders. That made the subcontinent the last delicious corner of the earth which had few Mitsubishi landlords. What Mitsubishi can't buy, they adopt. J.E.D.D. Mason's voice was gentle as a chant. One vote for being a member, two for owning an apartment, five for a house, 20 for a factory, 30 for a forest, none for an idea. I. You're the richest hive measured in land, but what if we measure by manpower? Shanghai. The Masons win by their standard, and we win by ours. I see that. That doesn't make us wrong. I. But there aren't only two measures, directors. There are many. Measure by income. Half the human race pays rent to you. But Utopia earns more for its services and inventions. Or measure by output. You say shareholder democracy makes your members work harder, but every single Utopian is a vocateur. Younger Shanghai. The Utopians aren't a competitor. No matter what they earn, they can't grow while they spend it all on their moon base and lobbing junk at Mars. Terraforming, I corrected. It is terraforming. In 250 years it will be done. Even if you own this world by then, Utopia will own another one. Is it not miraculous, reader, the power of the mind to believe and not believe at once? We all know the powers of Utopia. We see their living wonders fill the streets, cheer as they conquer syndromes, hire them to make the impossible possible for us job after job. We even trust them with this hunt for the dread Gyges device. Yet we still think and plan for the world, one world. We never doubt that every individual shipment they send to Mars must be successful, that their science is sound, their effort proceeding, but somehow we do not believe the distant end will ever come. These 9 directors don't believe utopians will really live on Mars in 2660. Utopians do. If land is not the source, I continued, then you lose to the Masons. If it is, you lose long-term to the Utopians. Sugiyama's editorial will say this, and, coming from your most prominent journalist, it will shatter the public's faith in your democracy. Shareholder democracy, younger Shanghai corrected. Democracy is what the other hives are seeing. Director Bandyopadhyay leaned forward until the polished board table glowed with the reflected coral fire blossoms of her jacket. Whatever you say about the benefits of having both personal votes and property votes, you know the other hives look at us. They look at me. They look at how our second largest nation strat can only secure one seat at this table because the lot of you... Her gesture encompassed all of them, but her eye fell most on Ando and Kimura Kunie, whose 100 million Japanese strat members boasted 2 directors, while India's near billion fought for 1. Have had your strats eating up property as hard as you can for generations. They think they see us all racing with each other to eat up more, even if we aren't. Every doubt and bad feeling other hives have, and every late rent fee they've ever resented, it adds up. She turned back to the camera. This could be some anti-land grab group playing extremely dirty. Do we even know this is the real Kanno device? Someone with a vague sense that it could smear us may have created their own tracker hacker to make us look dirty. The suggestion struck me like a ray of light. Shanghai killed it with a cloud. Utopians? Hired utopians could do it, or the hive itself. Do your predictions think they'll benefit from this? What does the censor's office say? I winced. You can probably guess. The Masons are predicted to gain most from the members and investments that leave you. Cousins and humanists will benefit as well. More details are in flux. And the Utopians? Shanghai pressed. You just said we're in a long-term 2-planet land race, and here we're trusting them with the investigation. What if it was them? I could not lie before J.E.D.D. Mason. There are probably constellations of utopians out there who could make such a thing. But to speak frankly, directors, manipulating politics and public image this way is not the sort of thing utopia as a hive cares much about. And if hired utopians were to plan such a thing for one of the other hives, they would succeed, and they would make sure we did not suspect them. I cringe even now repeating this, reader. Do not fear the Utopians. Anyone would call Utopia a fearsome foe, but they do not play these earthly power games, and, like a nest of hornets, they sting only when provoked. Have you seen this Sugiyama editorial, Jagmohan? Director Bandyopadhyay uses India's nickname for J.E.D.D. Mason, practically a pun. Which angle is it playing up? Maybe Sugiyama is talking to anti-land grab people. Beijing nodded agreement. If so, the worst part of all this may be that this fuss with the editor and switching lists makes it look like Masami Mitsubishi was party to trying to hush Sugiyama up. I'm already getting snippets of the hue and cry anti-land grab groups are raising about that. Perfect ammunition for them. Too perfect. A few had sympathetic frowns for brooding Ando, but Bandyopadhyay's expectant gaze directed the others to the camera once again. They have a special patience for J.E.D.D. Mason, as for an oracle struggling to condense her oceanic message into the thimble vessel of a sentence. Chichiwe, do you have personal enemies outside this room? Have any of you directors? They reviewed each other over a long silence. You think this is a personal attack? A shark has many teeth for one reason. Just so, this theft wounds from many sides at once. That speaks of a meticulous author. Again, a careful silence held China, Korea, India, Japan. Any who answers me this in private might do great good, J.E.D.D. Mason told them slowly. Until then, directors, I give you more by giving my minutes and my servants' minutes to my investigation than to you yourselves. The chief director nodded. Thank you for your time today, Tycoon. I will you well, directors. Father, give my regards to all my step-siblings and the princess. Chief Director Ando smiled at this dash of Japanese. I will. Jagmohan, Director Bandyopadhyay's call made all freeze. One more question. Yes, Director. I know you're using Mycroft Guildbreaker. How much will you two share with Mason in all this? Does Guildbreaker know that the Kana device can be tied to the Mitsubishi? Will Mason find out? His answer was not slow this time. A Masonic emperor does not need blackmail. Potter gains more from stability than from your fall. You two are all allies in that sense. If Martin and I choose to inform Patrem, it will be because the Empire cannot help you bury what it does not know. I see doubt on your faces, but you are already struggling to keep this secret. You would do well to accept aid from Patre, one whose secrets have commanded supreme awe and curiosity over the centuries, and yet he keeps them still. Here, once again, reader, we manage to both believe and not believe. We say we are not so gullible as to accept the propaganda that the Masons are as ancient as the cults of Mithras and Orpheus. We say that we do not believe they conspired from the shadows, guiding human progress for millennia before the church war's chaos brought them into the light. But when you push, our denial weakens. We date the Hive to 2137, the war's height, 6 years after Carlyle's great renunciation shattered the nation-states. Those who did not share the uniting ethic of an early Hive did not love Europe, Asia, sport, stage, kindness, nature, profit, brill, found themselves abandoned, their states dissolving, their churches, first resort when states failed, swept up in the zealot flames. As war matured into chaos and plague, one false hope lay in the Masonic lodges peppering the towns, which fiction claimed were more than what they seemed. We say that Antoninus Mason just harnessed the myth, organized those who came to the lodges into a global force before people realized there was not one already there. Power, I am, this master storyteller claimed. The secret emperor, more ancient than the pyramids, more far-reaching than Alexander, more long-lasting than Rome. While Ramses and Ozymandias built monuments that fade, I hid in the shadow, and reveal myself only now that the fools I left to sub-govern in my place have failed so much. Come back to me, my people. My empire has endured 10,000 years and will not be shaken by this petty war. That fiction birthed this hive, which swallowed up the remnants as a gleaner picks fallen grain after the harvest. Much grain remained, more than enough to make the myth of empire real. But something inside us can't believe it's all invention. It feels so ancient. The dread Imperial Guard. The awesome shadow of the Sanctum Sanctorum Tower. The Imperial Palace with its clustered ziggurats. The laws unrolled on crackling papyrus. The cold, iron-gray throne. The language of myth slips from our tongues. Ancient custom, ancient law, imperium, millennium, empire, Caesar. Perhaps it actually is true and false at once. Great institutions, hive, strat, nation, kingdom, guild, all are built of consensus, willed into reality by we who love, obey, protect, and fear. If will alone can make these powers real enough to reshape the globe and burn the heavens, perhaps will can also make them real 10,000 years ago. Yes, Ando answered. You may tell, Mason, if you think it prudent, Tycoon. We know you'll only make them see the truth. While we have you with us, we are able to count Mason as a friend. I know the whole Directorate is grateful. Ando stopped there, but the grim pride in his eyes added, to me. They did need these reminders sometimes, Beijing, Shanghai, vast and wary India, why they are all best off with Ando in the chief director's seat. Yes, Chichiwe, I will do my best for you. Chapter the 19th. Flies to Honey. But this is a church, Thisbe cried. Carlyle checked the address a second time. Probably it just used to be a church. See? The cross has been taken off the steeple. Thisbe found little comfort in that as she faced the stone and arches of XXX Rue XXXXX Avignon, France. It had been a church, a simple one, but ancient enough to have the wet scent of a graveyard. The tangle of plants around it was almost tidy enough to be called a garden, and as March's lion turned to lamb, some hope-green sprouts were peeking from old branches like stubborn stars piercing a foggy night. I did not see this. In fact, at my interview, I invited Carlyle Foster to write this chapter himself, but he does not trust his skill with written words. That day, he trusted himself. Let's try the basement door, he was first to suggest. It looks more used than the big front portals. Thisbe did not have to be convinced, for her boots had already started down the garden path, threatening to crush the green points, not yet crocuses, which crowded between the stones. I asked each of them to describe the scent that drifted from the windows. Thisbe called it hypnotic cooking, the kind that makes you crowd around the oven, unable to stop watching the timer as it crawls toward done. Carlyle said only that it would have made a statue hungry. Thisbe knocked twice. She had donned her best for this, a short jacket of tea-green silk, which matched the landscapes of her boots. I still prefer her in her home clothes, loose and lazy like the lax wings of a flying squirrel, forever ready to cuddle back in bed. It is not that the suit looks bad on her, but people have different faces for work and play. Thisbe's home face may be menacing at times, but it is also a bit less false. Excuse me, Thisbe called sweetly as any rose-cheeked princess. Is anyone home? Coming. Rapid feet approached within. I didn't expect you so Oh. The voice had a hint of paternal cheer, which faded as soon as the door opened enough to reveal the strangers. Sorry, I thought you were the grocery kids. Can I help you? With the door open, the smell went from delicious to maddening. I hope so, Thisbe answered. We're supposed to follow up with Dominic Seneschal about some urgent work, but we can't seem to find them anywhere. We were hoping you might have seen them around here.
That won a chuckle. You and all the king's horses and all the king's men. What do you need them for? Thisbe's false laugh is beautiful. It's rather absurd, but I'm supposed to be running a pro forma background check on, of all people, Tribune Mason. A background check? On TM? The chuckle matured into a hearty belly laugh. Thisbe joined it. Yes, I know, but every new system has its paperwork. I'm supposed to interview associates, boshmates, family's going to be exciting. You may well be someone on my list too, member... Hiveless, the housekeeper corrected, turning so they could see the Blacklaw Hiveless sash behind her fresh-stained apron. Gibraltar Chagatai. I should describe this figure. Chagatai is not much over 50, but has let silver grace her ponytail, and her face is creased with lines gained through trials, not age. Those features and her silvered stubble, broad shoulders and jolly belly laugh grant her a weathered handsomeness, which middle-aged widows find irresistible. She has enough Mongolian ancestry to look ambiguously Eastern, but wears no nation-strat insignia, and few insignia at all that mean much to non-Blacklaws. Her hands are too thick and strong, better suited to sport or spears than teacups. That day, she was wearing only comfortable pieces of her uniform of servants black and white, for there was no need for more when the master was not expected. Carlyle says he didn't see a weapon, but I cannot believe so wise and wild-spawned a Blacklaw would open a door without some blade or pistol hidden in an offhand. Would you, reader, if you lived in days of banditry and honor duels, as she, by choice, still does? And who are you? Chagatai asked. My name is Thisbe Sanir. I do security for the facility where... The Sanir Weeks Booth Bash, of course, I had heard. This sensei is Carlyle Foster. Checking up on Dominic for the conclave? Chagatai offered friendly, too firm handshakes. Who suggested this address? I didn't get any notice that you were coming. Usually I should. Thisbe had her lie ready before Carlyle could flinch. Mycroft. Mycroft Guildbreaker? No, Mycroft... She glanced at sweet, oblivious Carlyle. Who is a servicer?
Ah, that, Mycroft. You're being very thorough. Why don't you come in? You can check me off your list, and if we're lucky, Dominic may turn up within an hour or so, fingers crossed.
Pride glowed in Thisbe's smile. Thank you.
Hold,
Chagatai commanded as Thisbe's boot threatened the lintel.
I have to check your credentials first. Could you both send them over?
Carlyle hesitated before giving the send command, but trusted Thisbe's promise that she had cleared all during the flight. Chagatai's face softened as the data flickered across their lenses.
Excellent. Come in. You can... Oops!
It was the chirp of the kitchen timer that cut the Blacklaw off, and she rushed back toward an inner doorway and the scent of meat beyond.
Please come through. You're welcome to the bathroom if you need it, and to look at the collection. Just be careful touching anything that looks more than a few hundred years old.
Her invitation left little they could touch. The hall was practically a museum, its walls lined with low bookcases filled with books whose spines of aged leather long predate printed titles. On the waist-high tops of the bookcases crowded a mass of tiny statues, Buddhas, Madonnas, Anubis jackals, Venus figures, 1,000 votive figurines in bronze, jade, clay, porcelain, silver, even dream-bright gold. The walls above the shelves were crowded too, even more dazzlingly. Icons, hundreds of them, saints, angels, brilliant in paint and gold leaf, crowded edge to edge, an endless stream of flat, stylized faces. It is hard to believe the world poured out so many, though these are just the tiniest fraction even of what survives. Most of them were ugly,
crude, at least, too rough to be objects of aesthetics in our modern age. The kind of icon poured out thousand upon thousand in that desperate middle age, when images were objects of utility more than art. Objects of hope and desperation, remedies against despair and plague before we had our great salvation science. There is judgment in their painted stares, but also something pitiable. These things, almost beings that had been worshipped, loved, brought offerings, sweet, burnt incense, that had been the most precious things in their first owner's world. Yet today, it was hard to believe anyone cared enough to dust them all. "This used to be a church, didn't it?" Carlyle called toward the kitchen.
"Yes,"
Chagatai called back, her deep bass rumble easily drowning the kitchen sizzle.
"It was a ruin 10 years ago, but TM was sad seeing the state of the place, so Chief Director Ando gave it to them as a birthday present."
"TM," Carlyle repeated. "You mean Tribune Mason?"
"Sorry, yes." "I know, they have too many nicknames."
"This collection is magnificent."
"Yes. I think TM owns something like 60 former churches now, all fixed up and turned into hospices or servicers' dorms or other useful things. Can't stand to see old churches rot. But they do insist on cramming them all with this collection."
Thisbe gaped. "You mean they have 60 times this many?"
"What, the icons? They're all President Ganymede's, things they dredged up from collection basements. The Art Situation Program is fine at finding homes for Greek pots and Ming vases, but nobody wants 100,000 identical Madonnas anymore. Nobody but TM, anyway."
Tempting as this strange gallery was, the smell was stronger, and lured both to the kitchen like a honey trap. It was a magnificent kitchen. 6 counters, each a different temperature, 3 fridges, 4 different ovens, from the most modern to real brick with firelight within. The kitchen tree, which hugged the greenhouse windows, was programmed not for standard snacking fruits and crepe-edged lettuces, but a chef's array. Branches of savory and bay and allspice berries crowded between fiery peppers, currants, young pumpkins, tomatillos, with shallots and radishes bulbous among the tree's fat roots. Carlyle says every burner was going. Pots of steel and clay smelling of garlic, biting oregano, onion, salt, and infinite butter. "I don't think I've smelled anything so tempting in my life." Thisbe could offer no truer compliment. "Are you having a belated party?" Chagatai had taken from the meat maker a sheet of rosy flesh, 2 centimeters thick, as wide as a dinner plate, and long like an unrolled scroll. She had already massaged in the spices, and now, with her larding needle, was injecting slivers of garlic and pancetta.
"No, this is just one dish. My own recipe, carnivore roll. It's Dominic Seneschal's favorite food, TM's idea. You know, when your dog's missing, so you get some of their favorite treats and leave them on the doorstep and hope they'll come back.
With an aroma like this, you're going to attract every stray dog in the neighborhood." Chagatai's silvered stubble glistened as she smiled.
"I know, it's cruel to make you smell this and not offer any. But what you're smelling is just the preparatory sauces. The real thing takes hours. Would you like something else in the meantime? I have pear strudel."
"Sounds fabulous." Chagatai picked a fridge and started rustling.
"So, hiveless Chagatai," Thisbe began, twitching her hands as if taking tracker notes, "are you a cook, or is this just a job?"
Such a refreshing question. In our cast of leaders and vocateurs, one would almost think we had regressed to the olden days when people were their jobs. Mr. Smith is a banker, Mrs. Christian is a nurse, as if those 20 or 40 or 60 hours made the other 100 of each week nothing. How do you introduce yourself at parties, reader? Are you a cook, a hiker, a reader, a moviegoer?
Oh, I'm a cook, she answered. I've published a couple recipe books, banquet dishes mostly, menus for big parties. Never worked restaurants, though. I used to be a smuggler and general thug.
Carlyle says they suddenly felt an ominousness in Chagatai's shoulders and the thickness of her hands.
Yes, Thisbe bluffed. The file I got on you was as confusing as it was incomplete. It's one of the things I'm supposed to check out. How did you transition?
I messed up a job, then messed up worse trying to fix it, and before I knew it, I owed my enemies more money than my life was worth. It was my own fault, and I'd burned too many bridges, so I wasn't going to get any help unless I ran to the cousins or turned Greylaw, and that was right out.
She set the strudel to heat.
I had my pride.
That she did, reader. And does still, when she visits Blacklaw country on her days off. The wildernesses urban and natural which we cede to the bold minority, who, on passing the adulthood competency exam, would rather invite their fellows to prey on them like lions than accept a law that deprives them of any freedom, even murder. The universal laws still make it criminal for them to prey on children, take trackers away, or jeopardize the world with toxic chemicals, or fire, or religion. But they feel in their hearts that humans are a predator, and predators need the right to tear each other's throats. You must not think they rape and murder daily, most rarely more than duel. And it is a strong deterrent, knowing you have no armor in this wide world but the goodwill of peers who could kill you where you stand. It is liberty's pride that puts the swagger in Chagatai's steps, not bloodthirst. And had our master not rescued her from Vendetta's execution, Chagatai would have accepted her end with grace. Combat, but grace. She has a sister, Cutter Chagatai, who once fell pregnant and lived with Gibraltar here in Avignon the 9 months that the Prenatal Safety Act made her upgrade to Greylaw for the child's sake. A caged eagle is not more desperate to see the key turned in the lock than she was to cut the cord and drape the black again around her hips.
So instead of running to the law, you ran to Tribune Mason? Thisbe prompted.
I didn't run. I was in a bar trying to plan my last stand when this 12-year-old in a strange costume came out of nowhere and offered to pay off my enemies and give me room and board for life if I'd come be their chef and housekeeper.
You'd already worked as a housekeeper somewhere?
Never. Chagatai finished with the larding needle and gazed with pride over their meaty canvas. I'd been in a couple cooking contests, nothing else. I didn't recognize the kid. And this was a lot of money. Plus, you've met TM, yes?
Yes.
Then you know how off-putting they are the first time, or 20, you meet them. So there I was, thinking, is this a space alien? Is this kid insane? It wasn't until they said they'd call their banker to prepare the money and called the Imperial Treasury that I realized who it was.
Carlyle smiled. They saved your life.
Yes. But it was also a business arrangement. The contract specifies that if I ever quit, I have to pay the money back in full.
That's exploitation, the cousin cried.
The Blacklaw laughed the word away. Believe me, this is a better, longer life than I expected. I was both ambitious and stupid in my youth, you realize. Not a good combination.
Thisbe smiled.
True. So you've known Tribune Mason 9 years?
Yes.
And has this always been the residence?
A residence, yes. They rarely manage to stay here more than once a week, with all the late nights in Togyankyo and wherever. Plus, they're enrolled in the Romanovan campus and Brill's Institute, and I think they have dorm residences at both. And they often spend nights back at their birth bash, though that's an area where you'll need Dominic or one of the Mycrofts for your background check. I'm not allowed near the birth bash.
Thisbe raised an eyebrow. Not allowed?
I think I'm TM's separate sphere.
She took a bowl of butter, flecked with fennel and spices, and painted it across the meat like plaster.
TM works for every hive, right? So they can't live in any capital. It would be a declaration of allegiance. I'm neutral, not even any political strats. They need that break.
12 is a very young age to set up a separate residence. I've heard of it with kids who take on the adult competency exam really early, but Tribune Mason hasn't taken it yet, right?
And this will be the place to duck the firestorm when they do. Savvy kid, TM, even age 12. Plus, here they can have guests stay without worrying about clearing umpteen security.
Thisbe jumped on that one. What kinds of guests?
Worried about the security dodge? It all gets filed. It's just not as draconian here as at the Domus Masonicus.
What kinds of guests? She pressed.
Oh, all sorts. At the moment we have 2 art history students using the collection, and Mycroft dropped off a pretty battered young thing they said they rescued from somewhere. Servicer, Mycroft, not the Mason. Servicer business, as I understand. Somebody's bossib. They're in the back now, watching a movie.
Movie? She dropped her knife into the butter, spinning on the pear with the enthusiasm of epiphany.
Thisbe Sinere, Oscar winner, 2451. Best smell track for Blue Like Thursday. I knew that name. And you won it another year for that one about the 3 sets of kids in different time periods who all tried to build a boat and sail around the world. What was it called?
The Horizoners, Thisbe supplied, beaming. I didn't think anyone but my bossib sat through that part of the Oscars anymore.
I never missed them.
Chagatai was all smiles now, her warm, narrow-eyed suave.
You've won more than twice, haven't you? How many times?
4.
Carlyle probably gaped.
Thisbe, you do the smell tracks for movies?
Thisbe smirked. I do have a life outside the Bosch, you know. I'm not a voker like Occam and Leslie. I'm only on duty 20 hours a week.
Certainly you too, reader, like Carlyle, had formed a portrait of Thisbe who existed only in that bedroom, drinking tea and waiting for the active cast to come to her. But let me ask you this. Would you have labeled her a stay-at-home so easily had I not been reminding you with every phrase that she is a woman?
Then stop, Mycroft. Drop these insidious pronouns which force me to prejudge in ways I would not in the natural world. At times I think thou makest a hypocrite of me simply for the pleasure of calling me one. Had thou not saddled Carlyle and Thisbe with he and she, I would not remember now which sex each was, and my thoughts would be the clearer for it.
No, reader, I cannot release you from this spell. I am not its source. Until that great witch, greater than Thisbe, the one who cast this hex over the earth, is overthrown, the truth can be told only in her terms.
Thou hadst best be prepared to prove that claim in time, Mycroft. Meanwhile, since thou insistest on thy he's and she's, be clear at least. I cannot even tell whether this Chagatai is a deep-voiced woman or a man whom thou mislabelest, obeying that ancient prejudice that housekeepers must be female.
Apologies, reader. And I know it is confusing, too, that I must call this cousin Carlyle he. With Chagatai, however, your guess is wrong. It is not her job, which makes me give her the feminine pronoun, despite her testicles and chromosomes. I saw her once when someone threatened her little nephew, and the primal savagery with which those thick hands shattered the offender was unmistakably that legendary strength which lionesses, she-wolves, she-bats, she-doves, and all other she's obtain when motherhood berserks them.
Of course, Thisbe Sinere, Chagatai repeated. I should have placed you at once. Big name and smell tracks. You invented something major, what was it? Using some kind of neutral smell that can make a quick transition from a negative emotion smell to a positive emotion smell to make scene changes crisper? That's it, exactly. They call it Thisbe's rinse.
The witch glowed here, for such compliments are rare as diamonds for this virtuoso whose art aims for the audience not to notice its existence. The smell track is as indispensable